Hello and welcome to 30 for 30 Plus. My name is Jody Avergan. This is the series of conversations I host in between seasons of original documentaries about some of our favorite 30 for 30 films. And today, it's Dion's Double Play, the new 30 for 30 about Deion Sanders, also known as Primetime, a legendary figure in football and baseball, one of the biggest sports personalities of all time. And when we spoke about this film, I asked him right off the bat why there hadn't been a 30 for 30 on Deion Sanders until now in 2019.
Well, I declined it several times.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't see the benefit.
How do you not see the benefit?
Because you're giving away your content for them to replay it, replay it, and replay it. Then, I mean, it has to be some type of benefit to it.
But now there is a Deion Sanders 30 for 30, and rather than look at his whole career, it focuses in on one epic weekend in October 1992, when Deion Sanders played baseball and football on back-to-back days. It's something that hadn't been done before, and actually it hasn't been done ever since.
He is a great cover corner, maybe the best that ever played this game. Baseball player, base stealer, hitter.
But he better save some of that energy, because tonight it's baseball. Tomorrow afternoon, it will be NFL football.
Very few people could ever pull this off. Go for it.
I wasn't aiming to blaze no trail, man. I was just aiming to do what I've always done.
And by focusing in on just that two-day stretch, it really does help clarify a lot of the interesting details, not just about that moment, but about who Deion Sanders really was.
Because there's a misconception on what transpired, and I've never spoken on it publicly. I've always dismissed it and just forgot about it and just went on with my life. But I said, you know what? People deserve to really know what went down and why I did what I did with McCarver and why I took that action and all of that.
There's lots about what went down that weekend, the logistics of taking part in a playoff game for the Braves in Pittsburgh one night and then flying to Miami for a Falcons game the next afternoon. But that thing that Deion refers to at the end there, what I did with McCarver, that is the controversy in this film. Announcer Tim McCarver was not very pleased with Sanders' attempt to play two sports in one day, and he said so on national television.
I think Deion's doing a rather self-centered thing, Tim.
Absolutely.
Going there tomorrow.
You know, there's been a lot of talk that he's a consummate team player for the Atlanta Braves. And if he's that, how can he leave in the playoffs?
The way I look at that, that is just flat wrong.
Why do you think it upset so many people?
It didn't upset so many people. It only upset a couple ignorant people who happen to have a microphone in front of their face.
We'll hear more from Deion later in the episode, but first let's talk to Ken Rogers of NFL Films, who directed Deion's Double Play. He's done a number of 30 for 30 so far, and he's here to talk about how it all came together. Ken, welcome to the show, and congratulations on the new film.
Well, thanks for having me, and thanks for the congratulations.
Can you just, in your own words, describe why you think Deion playing two sports in 2 days was so controversial?
I think any time that someone tries to break a barrier, it's controversial. But this was breaking a barrier that some people didn't think should be crossed. And what was controversial about it was really the difference between the Prime and Deion persona, which is the difference between football and baseball, which is the difference between, you could say, two different Americas, and I wouldn't know how to break it down. But there were some people who said, wow, this is incredibly cool.
Chris, just when you think you've seen it all with Deion Sanders, he takes it to the next level.
If I had that athletic ability and was capable of doing what he's going to do, and somebody asked me to do it, I don't know me, I'd do it.
It's an American dream, playing both sports within a 24-hour span. Good
Have
luck,
some fun
Deion.
With it.
Good luck, Deion.
Other people saw it as trying to have too much. If you're loyal to both teams, then you're not loyal to one. And I think it's obvious in the film that the hard feelings really come from the baseball side. You know, football certainly could have been upset that he flew overnight after playing baseball to show up to a football game when they have him under contract.
And he hadn't practiced the whole week. I mean, I was kind of surprised by how little the Falcons seemed to be upset with this guy missing a whole week's worth of practice.
Yeah, and I think that has a lot to do with their coach. Jerry Glanville was that type of guy who was his own character.
I thought his coach might be a bit put off by Sanders' sudden desire to split times between the two sports, but Jerry Glanville is all for it.
Nobody in the Falcons was not on his side.
We needed him just as much, but it was just intriguing
and fun for us to say, hey, we got a teammate playing Major League Baseball too.
In Prime's world, this was definitely something done in order to help both teams.
So the Falcons are like, hey, man, do what you got to do. As long as we win and we straight. Not winning in football, but as long as we bring it back to the city. That was the Falcons' mentality.
He really enjoyed competing, and I think he wanted to help the city in both places.
Because this is a city that's trying to win something.
Of course, it was also good for his reputation, and you know, it's doubtful that he didn't have that in mind, but he did want to help people. But I really think that the people involved with the Braves had a legitimate issue with Prime leaving, in that football is more physical of a sport. And here Dion is leaving in the middle of their NLCS and going to play a football game where he could get hurt. And their base stealer, their utility outfielder, their pinch runner is now not available. Well, that's certainly not good for them. And I think I'm stuck in the middle. You know, I'm not sure what I think about this event now, whether it was a good thing or a bad thing, whether, you know, Dion stretched too far and tried to do too much, or if it was just an amazing thing that people should have supported more.
Yeah, I'll tell you that I mean, the guy was playing for a baseball team without a contract.
Let me clear this up, ladies and gentlemen. My baseball contract went to until July the 31st. I was considered a football player after July the 31st. We in October, man.
I've been on the Braves because I want to be. I have no contract.
I mean, at the end of the day, it feels like that decides it for me. I mean, if he's going out of his way, no matter his reasons, then I don't know. I feel like this is, should not have been as big of a deal. And I guess I do want to ask you how mm-hmm. big of a deal it was. And it's a little hard to tell. But when I spoke with Deion Sanders, he said, you know, there were only a few people who were actually mad at him, but a couple of those people happened to be holding microphones and talking to the national television broadcast of those baseball games. Can you give us a sense of scale? I mean, were there masses of people who were upset with Deion Sanders, or was it really just a couple old guard folks who were holding microphones?
You know, we couldn't interview everyone, but I can pretty assuredly tell you that there was plenty of baseball people in general who felt this was wrong. If you read the press back in the day, the media certainly took on the tack that Deion was being selfish.
Has he broken a deal with you, and are you aggravated with him?
Or at least an understanding. It wasn't a written deal, but we talked about the issue of his being with us full-time during the playoffs and World Series, and our feeling of full-time meant every minute of every day.
I think to the people in baseball, they looked at it and they thought, you know, this guy's not dedicated to this.
And a lot of that came from the fact that, as Jim Gray says in the film, oh, it's a regular season football game. And here you are in the NLCS. Shouldn't that take a priority?
Would there be some guy who'd be playing in a Super Bowl who would run off and play in a regular season NBA game the night before or that night? I mean, come on.
And I think, you know, you can say that they were being selfish and not having fun and not allowing Deion to do it. But I think if you ask them, they had their reasons. And Deion had his reasons. And like many relationships in life, this is one where I think both sides are right. Both sides have their point of view.
Tell us about the McCarver incident. Tell us kind of, with the advantage of history, what you make of that moment.
So the Tim McCarver incident is the one moment that lives, you know, virally from this whole story.
When your mama call you and tell you how upset she was that this man is talking about you like a dog, where I'm from, you handle it.
I remember Deion coming out of the training room with a bucket of ice water. Then I heard him say, where's McCarver? And I went, oh no.
What I'm gonna do, go knock him out, gonna swing on him, then I'm going to jail. I ain't gonna do that. I just wanted to bring him down a little bit. I just wanted to cool him off a little bit.
Where is he at? Where's McCarver? Where's McCarver?
McCarver's right here.
Right now. Where you go?
I got a real man. You know that? You are a real man, Deion. I'll say that.
There's a lot of people who feel like, Come on, he threw water on him. It's fun. It's a locker room. How many times do you see reporters get water thrown on them? You know, it's just part of what that is.
I mean, I think even Dion would admit that there was something else going on there.
Exactly.
Wasn't just a bunch of water getting thrown around in a winning locker room.
Sure. No, and he does. And he knows that that's not all. There was premeditation there. There's a real large extreme here of people from Jim Gray, who in the film says, you know, it was almost like a legal form of assault.
What he did to Tim McCarver was outright wrong. It was despicable.
That's all the proof you need right there, is Dion has bad character, because look at what he did.
And when Tim stood there and said, "You're a real man, Dion. You're a real man," that kind of said it all.
Or you can look at it and say, look how many people misunderstood Dion. They took that incident that was deserved and really not that big of a deal and made him a villain because of it.
If you're in the locker room celebrating with the team, you got to get wet. Period.
It's the same breakdown as the people who thought he was wrong for trying to play two sports and right for playing two sports.
Jim Gray does participate in the film. Tim McCarver, Sean McDonough, who were the announcers, did not. Can you tell us anything about your outreach to them and why they didn't participate?
Yeah, you know, it's the first time it's really happened to me in my career that a central figure that big did not want to participate.
Really? This?
Yeah, I guess my charm ran out. I mean, I can get Belichick and Parcells together, but I can't get McCarver and Dion together. And that was the original intent, is we should bring these two guys together. They should talk this out. Let's get this over with. Dion even suggests that.
Get him. Call him. Bring him to me. I'll go to him. Let's sit down and chop it up. Let's talk about it. I apologize.
Tim McCarver, the answer was no. I mean, the answer was no for getting together with Dion, no for talking about Dion, no for, you know, doing an interview off the record. Everything, he just doesn't want to talk about it.
And was it no, like, I want to put this in the past, or no, like, I'm still mad about this, or what, you know, what was it? What kind of no was it?
Well, it's hard to tell sometimes, but it really was I'm not going to lower myself to talk to Dion.
Huh.
My guess is that Tim McCarver feels like, yeah, it's a little too late.
I know Tim McCarver very well. I don't use this word lightly. He hates Dion, and he just won't let it go.
Coming up, we'll hear about the evolution of primetime, and then at the end of the episode, more from Dion Sanders himself.
Baseball, I still have dreams about it, like wisha, coulda, and shoulda. But I can't expect to be that guy in both sports.
"30 for 30 Podcast" is brought to you by our friends at State Farm. Whatever life brings your way, State Farm is here to help life go right. State Farm has over 19,000 agents across the country. 19,000 is a huge number, but it's not the number that's impressive. It's the personal service and attention to detail you can only get from your local State Farm agent. Talk to a State Farm agent today about combining the purchase of your home and auto insurance. State Farm, here to help life go right.
And prime was prime. But when it was time for baseball, you got Dion.
When you see Michael Jackson wearing that glove, you think he sit around the house with that glove on all day? No, he don't. That's what I'm saying.
You hinted a little bit at the distinction between Dion and prime. In this film, were you trying to capture both, or were you leaning more into the prime side?
Yeah, well, I was, first of all, shocked at how big of a difference there is between prime and Dion Sanders. I wasn't fully aware that primetime, as created by Dion Sanders, is more a character than an actual person. You know, a character he created in college in order to make money, in order to raise his profile.
I saw how much everyone made in the NFL, and I was highly disappointed that my position was one of the least paid. Right then and there, I created Pride Tyler. Oh, baby, you love him, you hate him, but guess what? You had to see him play.
With his name up in lights, prime time.
He was really way ahead of his time when it comes to viral marketing.
Right here, Deion Sanders getting congratulations from his teammates. I said, you know, what was it like? He said, Pat, it's prime time and about time. So back to you.
And it was amazing to see him turn it on and off depending on the question, depending on the circumstances that he was remembering. And to hear him actually say things like, I was always Deion in baseball.
I couldn't be prime. The game didn't call for that.
Because that's what the game needed, is a quieter, shy person, which I actually am.
Even to this day, I would not sign prime on a baseball. You're just going to get a signature on a baseball because that's all that was.
So he was Deion Sanders playing baseball and prime playing football. And I really saw that throughout the interview. And it was amazing to see him turn it on and off when all of a sudden this, you would think a question would elicit a joke or elicit something that would be outlandish. And he got real quiet and really soft-spoken. And you saw Deion and you said, wow, this guy really is a lot deeper than this persona he created.
I believe that it is also still kind of amazing to just hear you say Deion Sanders considers himself to be shy.
He is. You know, what's interesting, there's a lot of people that speak back in the day in the 89 to 92 era on record saying, you guys don't understand, Deion isn't prime and prime isn't Deion. And I think as the years have gone by, prime has taken over so much in the public sphere that people forget that there's an actual Deion behind him.
Yeah.
It really is a different person. I really like Deion. Prime, I now realize Primetime is a character. And now I don't mind Primetime as much as I might have because I realize, oh, this isn't a person who is being outspoken and outlandish because it's in his nature. It's entertainment.
What you're saying makes me think of the Ric Flair documentary that we did on
right.
30 for 30 a while ago, where the whole theme of that was that he was really unable to have a real persona and it was only Nature Boy. And then when his career mm-hmm. started to end, he didn't have a kind of real person to turn back to. This feels like a different model and a different approach.
I think so. And everyone will tell you, and if you follow Deion on social media, you'll see it. The things he talks about, I mean, he talks about his faith, he talks about his sons, he talks about coaching, he talks about fishing. I'm glad he has that. I wish all of these players, you know, that have found themselves trapped in their own persona, from Brian Bosworth to, as you said, Ric Flair. And there's a long history of people who create such a big persona that they can't escape. It happens in Hollywood all the time. You become the star and forget who you were. I don't think that's a problem for Deion. He knows it's all just show business, and he's great at it.
Yeah. Well, you captured it all really well, so I just want to congratulate you again. Ken Rogers from NFL Films, thanks for making this, and yeah, congrats.
Thanks for having me.
That was gold. That was great. God, that was good. If I had my arms long enough, I would pat myself on the back right now. Rewind that. Play that back.
Okay, we've heard some clips of Deion and Ken Rogers on making the film and the controversy. Now it is time to get a perspective from the man himself and whether he ever heard from any fans who were upset with him for playing two sports in 2 days.
No, never. Never a teammate, never a fan, never anybody. Not whatsoever. Because I think everyone knew what it was, even though I never said, hey, man, my contract is over in July. I'm helping y'all. How am I the villain? And I'm over here helping you. How stupid is that?
You don't think there were any teammates of yours who thought, man, this guy's getting on a plane and we're in the playoffs fighting for a World Series? This guy's getting on a helicopter.
No, because I left in July 31st to go play football. Now, you call me back over
to help you upon this chase. So how can I be the bad guy?
Did you feel like you were trying to say that at the time and just weren't being heard?
Well, I think I was heard. None of my teammates, none of on either side, no one cared because they knew what time it was. They knew I was a dual sport guy that wanted to help both parties.
Have you ever thought about if you were an athlete right now and did this, would it have gone over differently?
Yeah, because you have social media. All you had to do is travel one of my kids with me and go live and let everything be heard and seen. It was no, you couldn't misconstrue nothing because you got your word out. So while they're up there shooting darts, you know, from the telecast, all you had to do is go on, hey, this is really what it is.
I kind of get the impression that you wish there was Twitter when you were playing.
Nah, forget Twitter. I wish there was Instagram.
Would that have been healthy for Deion Sanders if there was Instagram when you were playing?
Yeah, because people would have really gotten to know you and not through the pens and the hands of persons that can fathom the way you got down with your life.
I mean, it felt like that was something you were trying to do during your career, was to be yourself and create your own image and kind of own your own image in a time when that was a little harder.
Well, I wasn't trying to. I was doing it.
Yeah.
The uncommon nature of it is that you hadn't seen it before. And oftentimes people are very uncomfortable with things they hadn't seen and things they can't do themselves. That's when people get uncomfortable.
Do you think there was also something about Deion that made people so upset? I mean, if Bo Jackson had tried this, would people have been this upset?
That's a good question. I don't know. The guy that goes first always gets attacked. I think Bo was treated unpleasantly as well for even doing the dual thing early on. I think it was some people that was very unpleasant towards him, not understanding what this was his life. This is what he did. He wasn't trying to garnish attention. This is what Bo did. And I thank God for Bo. If it wasn't for Bo, it wouldn't be no Prime.
Yeah.
Because he opened the doors.
What was that dynamic? Was there a rivalry there or just mutual respect?
Man, every person needs a arch nemesis to challenge you. Like I needed Jerry Rice. That was that guy that was my rival. So even in playing dual sports, man, Bo set the bar. And I was always chasing it. And I think he was using me to stay on the bar because he was on top.
Do you feel like people remember your baseball career as well as they should? I mean, you were a pretty good baseball player.
No, they don't remember my baseball career as well as they should because I was so darn good in football.
But you also admit that you chose football both. Kind of as you put it, as your wife and not your girlfriend,
yeah,
right? So, I mean, it was partly up to
true.
You, right?
No, it's the way life played out. Yeah. Life played its hands like that. It was one point in time that I was going to choose baseball full time. And then George Steinbrenner got in some mess with the league and that pulled that deal off the table. But I had a full-time baseball deal on the table for the Yankees. Yeah. And I was going to forego football.
But, I mean, do you think your ceiling in terms of accomplishment and a full career was as high in baseball as it ended up being in football?
No. I was all right in baseball. You know, I was that in football. I was that dude. Football. Baseball is still... I still have dreams about it, like wisha, coulda, and shoulda done some other things, shoulda taken different routes, but I can't expect to be that guy in both sports.
While watching the film, I kind of, at different moments, it felt like there were a lot of different things making you tick. There were times when I was like, man, this guy just really loves to play two sports. And there were other times where I was saying, this guy's trying to, you know, get as much money as possible or get as much fame as possible. I mean, what
okay,
was
hold,
really
hold,
at the heart?
Let me stop. Let me stop you on that money. Okay, what would prompt you to say he's trying to make as much money as possible? I'm curious about that. What would prompt you to that?
Well, the film gets into a little bit about how you were playing without a contract, but you were billing yourself as a two-sport athlete, which was letting you sign a bigger shoe deal, presumably.
I was playing.
Yeah.
No. I was playing two sports.
Yeah.
But the two sports was over. The baseball side of the two sports was over in the end of July.
Right.
So it was no different. I was playing two sports. I had already earned whatever I was going to earn for that season. But it was nothing subsequent to that. No playoff shares or whatever.
And I'm asking, I think, a little broader than just that weekend, but just in your career. I mean, you were trying to earn money for yourself, right? Is that a fair thing to say throughout your career?
No.
It was never about making some money?
I mean, when you're great, you make money.
Yeah.
I never chase money. I chase greatness. When you're great, the money follows you. I've never chased that. So that was never the cause. What people tell you, I don't tick like that. I played two sports and three sports since I was 6 years old. So why would I allow somebody that can't do it, won't do it, ain't going to do it, don't know how to do it, tell me what I can and cannot do? I never could fathom that.
Yeah.
I couldn't even understand that logic for somebody that can't even bust a grape, try to tell me what I can't do. So it was never about the dollar amount. Being great commanded the dollar amount. You have the game, you're going to get the money.
Hey everyone, one last thing before we go. I'm recording this from Atlanta, Georgia, where we just premiered the Deion Sanders film, and I did a little panel discussion with him and Ken Rogers. And there was one moment where I mentioned Tim McCarver and how in the film, Deion Sanders says that if McCarver wanted to apologize in the film, that he would do that. They would have a moment together and he would accept his apology and he would offer his apology. Well, I asked Deion Sanders if that offer was still on the table. I thought his answer was worth sneaking into this podcast. So take a listen.
At all. And that bothered me that he wasn't informed correctly.
Your offer still stands to McCarver if he walks in this room right now?
No, that thing over. That thing has a limited time. It's a limited time. You know that. Oh, no.
Okay, so there's no sequel.
No, you got to use this ticket.
Or you're breaking bread.
You got 15 days to respond, and this thing is over.
Good to know. Deion Sanders, subject of the new 30 for 30 film, Deion's Double Play, and the director of that film is Ken Rogers. The film premieres on Thursday night, January 31st, so if you're listening to this before then, go watch it on television. It'll also be re-airing on ESPN throughout the month of February, and soon it'll be available on our streaming service, ESPN Plus. You can sign up for ESPN Plus now, you can do it right through the ESPN app, and you'll get a 7-day free trial. The entire back catalog of 30 for 30 films is there, by the way, so it's definitely worth it. This episode was produced by Nina Ernest with help from Ryan Nantel, Vin D'Anton, Mitra Kaboli, and Jennifer Thorpe. My name is Jody Avergan. Thanks for listening. We've got a few more bonus episodes on the way. We're doing an anniversary series for the 10th anniversary of 30 for 30. And of course, we'll be announcing our next podcast season, which we're very excited about in a little bit. So stick around. We'll be back soon with more 30 for 30.